Proverbs 15. If you want to turn there, you can. It's not necessary. I'm going to read a few verses from Proverbs 15 tonight. You'll see a little theme here, I think, obviously, as we read. Proverbs 15, verse 13, a familiar verse. Some of you have memorized. It says this, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." A merry heart. Verse 15 says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." Across the page in chapter 17, you'll notice verse 22. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. This is a great word in our King James Bible, this word merry. And of course, it's one of the reasons why the words Merry Christmas first came on the scene in 1699, when an admiral in the Royal Navy used it in an informal letter that he had written. The admiral happened to be a student of Scripture, as were most of the writers in the 17th century, such as Dickens, who really popularized the phrase Merry Christmas. Queen Elizabeth, you probably know, did not like the word merry. She thought it was too common. So she required everyone in royalty to say Happy Christmas. And indeed, in her greeting yesterday, she said Happy Christmas. In our text tonight, the word merry is very interesting because it's a reminder that the heart of man can be merry, ought to be merry, and makes you healthier. We just read that. Makes you healthier when your heart is merry. In other words, what Solomon says about the merry heart shows us that the idea behind, quote, Merry Christmas is why some folks only get that, quote, Christmas spirit for a few days in November or December. In other words, these folks only attempt to do in a season what Proverbs teaches ought to be done in a lifestyle and with a lifestyle. And no, it's not putting up of trees or lights or maxing out credit cards. That's not the secret to a merry heart, obviously. But other things are, which is why tonight I brought a fruitcake. Oh, yes. This is specifically the world-famous Claxton fruitcake from Claxton, Georgia. Did somebody just say, as in good? That would be you. All right, we got one in here. As a boy, Claxton fruitcakes were a familiar tradition. My mom's watching now, and she can tell you that almost every Christmas, thanks to Mom, we had Claxton fruitcakes in our house. And their rival, as you might know, may or may not know, is the Collins Street Bakery fruitcakes in Corsicana, Texas. Claxton was founded by an Italian in 1885, and Collins Street was founded by German immigrants in 1896. And of course, there's this good-natured rivalry and argument over whose fruitcake is the best between these two giant fruitcake makers in America, which to me is sort of like arguing over which dentist does the best root canal. Amen? I mean, let's be honest. Fruitcakes, the word itself is a pejorative. When you say he's a fruitcake, or she's a fruitcake, it's not a compliment. Now, other desserts, that's not true for any other dessert. Other desserts would be a compliment. Man, she's a Adam's Peanut Butter Cup Fudge Ripple Cheesecake. Amen? That would be a good thing. Have you met my brother? He's a banana pudding. Well, that means he's a great guy, as far as I'm concerned. But fruitcake. You know, there's a legitimate theory that there's only one actual fruitcake in the entire world, and it's just passed on from family to family. And I get it tonight. This fruitcake is the ghost of Christmas past. Amen? But I mentioned the Italian baker for Claxton. Italians have something that they call pan forte, which means strong bread. Well, it's definitely, that's their term for fruitcake, it's definitely strong. It's strong enough to use as a doorstop, I would know. A weapon, all kinds of things. Pope Innocent actually outlawed fruitcakes in Europe. And then he wrote a famous letter called the Butterbrief in 1490, which allowed for fruitcakes if it used milk and butter. I don't know. This Claxton cake uses, I looked at the ingredients, margarine and soy. So it's apparently a Protestant fruitcake or something. I don't know. In any case, this Claxton classic, as it will, is going to illustrate tonight something that we've noted already about Solomon's admonitions on the merry heart. Some of you have said tonight, many times and today, Merry Christmas. It's a Bible word. There really is a biblical, spiritual reason why some Christians are happier and even healthier in general than others are. And the fruitcake is going to remind us of it. Number one, fruitcake's a reminder that there's always, number one, always something good in the midst of something bad. Look at chapter 12. Would you turn back a page or two? It says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. There's your heart again. But a good word maketh it glad. Now, wait a minute. A merry heart. You mean just a good word? A good word can make a difference between a heavy, stooping heart and a glad heart. Oh, yes. One of the things I used to do with these Claxton fruitcakes when I was a boy was break it apart. I would dismantle it. And you want to know why? Because the ingredients include orange peel, lemon peel, and these little green things that are actually cherries. Vivian, you like this, huh? You love this stuff? You used to. All right, well. These are cherries, these little green things that are chewy, and they have these weird pineapple chips as well. However, it's also got almonds, pecans, and walnuts. It says on the ingredients, nut meats, but then it goes on to tell you what kind of nut meats are in there. And I have to tell you something, they're delicious. If you break this thing apart and you get into it, now there's not a lot of them. This is a 16-ounce, 1-pound brick. And you really, trust me, I know, you have to dismantle and disassemble it to get the good stuff. But it's so worth it. Solomon said, a good word. A good word can take a heart that is heavy and stooping and make that heart glad. And I'm telling you, beloved, that is so obviously true. I told the teenagers Sunday, this Sunday or last, I don't remember, that I could, with one little word, one sentence, one line to them, I could make their day or ruin their day, depending on what I said to them in a hallway of a school, greeting them into church. I know that one word has this power because I've caused it and I've also received it. Which is also why Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, all the issues of life. Well, let me ask you a question. The first gate and the last gate to your heart are your ears. You hear before you can see, as a little infant in the womb, and you continue to hear long after you've lost your sight, and it fades, typically. So that standing guard over your heart to keep heaviness and discouragement from causing it, as Solomon says, to stoop, that means first and foremost watching the things that you hear, the words, as Solomon says. And beloved, listen to me. While it is true that a bad report, that bad news and bad words make for a heavy heart, it is just as true that a good word and a good report makes the heart merry and glad. I'll put it this way. We spent weeks in here recently on Wednesday nights studying what Paul said in Philippians when he said that the heart that should receive whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and pure and lovely and of good report, that heart has a peace that passes all understanding. It's not even comprehensible. Proverbs 16, if you're there, look at it with me. Verse 24 says, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. It's the same bones used in the text when it talks about a merry heart. In chapter 25, he says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news. Now, folks, look, don't allow the simplicity and the obvious nature of this to be lost on you tonight. Merry people Happy people have happy parts, have happy hearts because they listen to good things. And there's always something good in the midst of the bad. That means every day, whatever day you're in the midst of, God is good to you. And every day you can find something in there to count your blessings for. You know, Americans have more money, more creature comforts, more food, more security than any nation in the history of Earth. So why so much neurosis and depression and discontent? One of the main reasons to me is all the bad news. You just listen to the people running for president right now, and you would think that in America right now, nobody has a job, nobody has a doctor, nobody has an education, nobody's safe, nothing's fair, and nobody has money. And the people that are saying these things and the crowds that are cheering them when they say these things are the people who are the most affluent, educated, employed, healthy people with two cars in the nation. But you know what? If you hear bad news long enough and talk about bad news long enough like that, you will soon feel as bad as the news. And I'm just saying you do know that the opposite is true as well. Good reports and good words make for happier people. There's something about the season, Pastor. It's so cheerful. It's so happy. There's just something. There's nothing about the season. There's nothing about a day on a calendar. There's nothing magical about a tree stuck in your house. Try it in March and see if you have the same feeling. What's different is that for a little while, some people are hearing good news, good reports. They're even saying it. They're even saying Merry Christmas to complete strangers. Do you greet complete strangers all the time with a good word? Hey, good day to you. God bless you. It's great to see you. Do you do that? Of course you don't. You wait till Christmas to do it. To me, life's too short to just hang around and listen to scorners all the time. Now look, sometimes you have to. Bad reports happen. We're in the ministry. We have to listen to bad reports probably more than most. But it's kind of like sun exposure. Sun exposure is inevitable and it is necessary, but that doesn't mean you just deliberately go out on the rooftop and lie there from morning till dusk. What goes into your ears will determine the level of merriness, joy, so often. This is what Solomon teaches, in your own heart. Someone put an article on my desk. It was a study, Palm Beach Post, said that people who attend church once a week live on average 7 years longer than people who don't attend church. Now, to them, that means if you attend 3 times a week, you're going to live for 21 years longer than other people. As you people watching by this, I'll be doing your funeral sooner than these people in this room. That's all I'm saying. Merry Christmas. It's a scientific medical study. Might be a mystery to some people. I can tell you one of the main reasons why I'm sure that's true, because, you know, we just read that it's health to tomorrow. The bones, long before scientists told us that you know, that the bones are part of your health. The scripture says it. It's talking about good health. People who go to church, more than the people who stay home, let's say just Sunday morning, they're simply hearing more good words. Gospel means good news. They're hearing meet the depressed instead of the word of God. So you want to be happier? By a dozen, turn off the soap operas. Seriously. Stop with that stuff. Switch from Lifetime Channel to Hallmark, amen? You'll notice a difference in a week. Fruitcake is a reminder. I don't know anything about Lifetime Channel. I just know it's bad. It's the bad one, right? Hallmark's the good one. Even though it's the same story, no matter what the story is, it's the same basic thing. Little bookstore going out of business. The guy from the city, he's good looking. Guy from the country, who's going to win? Santa Claus is the guy. Whatever. It's the same recipe. And she always gets the guy in the end. There's no mystery. But at least it's positive. Number one, there's always something good in the midst of something bad. So let's do this. Let's focus on the good in January. Amen. Let's have a good word to say in January. Let's be givers in January and February. Let's sing songs. Let's think about Jesus and what he did for us in January. Let's think about family, how blessed we are. in January. Number two, a fruitcake is a reminder that life is short. In chapter 15, verse 15, all the days. I love it when the Bible talks about days. All the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. That means this. The evil people, the sorrowful people, these are long, tedious days. They're days, but they last forever. To God's people, they're wonderful days. It's a continual feast. But it's still counted in days. And life ought to be counted as days. Because you know what? That's really, the truth of it is, there really aren't that many of them in the first place. People look at a fruitcake, and really, honestly, they have this, these things have a reputation for lasting forever. Some of you have last year's in your freezer to this day. However, there is an expiration date on here. And I looked at it. It's March of 2020. Now, that's a long time for a dessert. Cupcakes don't last that long, at least not in my house, they don't. I mean, it's resilient, right? But it still has an expiration date. And every second, it gets closer and closer to that expiration date. And of course, in the same way, dates on a calendar are a great reminder to us that our lives are short. And I'll tell you why. Because there's only so many of them. There's an expiration date on this earth, by the way. It will be gone one day. Christmas. In an entire lifetime, you only get about 70 or 80 of them. Now put that in perspective. Can you imagine if you only get 70 hugs your entire lifetime? That's it. Suppose you only have 70 rounds of golf. I know, it broke your heart right there, Charlie. 70 rounds of golf. Or 70 horseback rides. Or 70 vacations. 70 date nights. 70 Hallmark movies. 70 favorite meals. Folks, if you only get 70, I'm using 3 score and 10, but if you only get 70 Christmas Eves, 70 Fourth of Julys, 70 Thanksgiving days, and for most of you, half of those are gone, why would you want to waste or skip a few of those? And why would you not cherish every single individual one of them? Not to get on people who aren't here tonight, but there was only one opportunity. There's only so many opportunities to be in church on Christmas Day night. This is one of them. You know, Moses said, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. There is a special wisdom that God gives to those who understand, have the perspective that every day is sacred. And you know, it's true. People who have merry hearts are those who cherish every day they're given. And the season proves that they count down. Every day matters. It's why Dickens wrote Ebenezer as different when he was finally given another chance, another perspective. He learned to be thrilled over one Christmas, one day, not knowing that he would get another one. Well, we don't know that. Number one, fruitcakes remind us that there's always something good in the midst of the bad. It reminds us that, number two, life is short. And finally, fruitcakes remind us that everybody is different, and that's a good thing. Let me prove it. How many of you in this room tonight love or like fruitcake? Raise your hand. Whoa, really? Okay. Wait, let me do that again. How many of you love or like fruitcake? Raise your hand. How about this kind, Claxton? All right, a few of you. How many of you hate fruitcake? Raise your hand. We have a church split. Fruitcake Baptist Church is going to start down the road. Claxton Baptist. You know, it's funny. How can people, we have so much in common. We love each other. We have everything eternal in common. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How can we be in the opposite? Not even, it was love and hate just a moment ago. How can we be on the opposite side of the one same exact issue? You know, Princess Caroline of Monaco orders this cheesecake, I mean, this fruitcake, every year. I wish it was cheesecake. That's what I got on the brain. You know who loves this? David Todd loves this fruitcake, right? You love Claxton? You get to have this when church is over tonight, all right? You can share it with everyone in church. She orders one every year. I mean, this wealthy lady. Vanessa, what's her name on Wheel of Fortune? Vanna White. She orders a bunch of them every single year. And frankly, I don't get it. I mean, Publix sells out of these. I got this 2.5 weeks ago. They sell out of these fast. They're gone. And again, I don't get it. What I do get is that happy hearts, happy people don't care. They don't care that you love them and I hate them. You love something that I hate and it's not biblical, it's not a fundamental of the faith. You know what? Merry Christmas. We both love God. You hate something that I love? Merry Christmas. We both love God's word. You hate golf? Bah humbug. There's something wrong with you. You know, really, this is an observation. You cannot really have a merry heart until you die to self and don't insist that everybody be exactly like you. Exactly like you. The Bible teaches unity, not uniformity. Romans 12:6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given unto us. Merry Christmas and tomorrow. Merry December 26th, because you're a Christian and a child of God. And merry 2020. And merry every day after that until our Lord comes and calls us home. And there will be no more pain, nor sorrow, nor fruitcakes. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Except for those who love them. And God will take care of them.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas from Lake City, Florida. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank you for the chance we have to be here together. And Lord, we thank you for this great reminder that we heard from your word this evening that being merry and trusting in you, Lord, it's not just something for this time of year. It's every single day as your people. And Lord, help us to remember this and help us to be reminded of it. And we thank you for that. But pray you be with us now as we go our separate ways. And Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses for you and of your grace, and we thank you for that as well. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.